Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
And we're talking about the psychological impacts of the government lockdowns as they have been revealing themselves. Obviously, the suicide rate was spiking. I don't know to what extent it spiked versus what's normal. What is the acceptable number of deaths? What is the excess deaths up from suicide because of the government lockdowns?
Well, I don't have any numbers as far as what the deaths are caused by. I mean, I'm presuming that these deaths are caused by COVID. They could very well have been caused by the suicides from being locked up. I don't know.
I doubt very many of them are actually caused by suicides, because for so many people, I mean, we're only, 2.5 months into this, and we seem to be seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, some sort of end and reopening up of the economy. So I imagine most people who made it through the first week was like, okay, this isn't nearly as devastating or bad as we expected it to be, at least as far as the psychological impact of being stuck at home. But that doesn't mean there's no psychological impact whatsoever. As we're seeing, depression is on the rise. Boredom, obviously, on the rise. Anxiety.
Alcohol purchasing is skyrocketing here. They have some interesting figures. For the week ending April 25th.
Well, there's nothing else to do.
The lefties want to get rid of guns because some people use them to kill themselves. I'll bet you alcohol is involved in far more deaths than guns. Not that I'm advocating getting rid of it.
Even far more suicides.
It would depend on
suicides, excuse me.
It would depend on the demographic. I mean, most women don't kill themselves with guns. That's predominantly a male thing.
Yeah.
So,
but they're probably drunk when they do it.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But the women probably not so much.
They're probably getting drunk and then taking pills.
Well, they're probably on Xanax, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're getting drunk. I don't know, though. I'm just speculating. So.
Year over year, off-trade alcohol sales were up 26.4%, down from a high of 55% in March when the lockdowns began. Online sales have exploded, recently growing in excess of 500%. But that's not all, because of people stocking up. The data now shows that more people have been buying more alcohol of a higher proof and at a more frequent pace. That means that both consumption and sales have faced a significant uptick. Even as the rate of sales growth has slowly decreased in mid-April, year-over-year increases have remained quite high.
Well, I don't know about that. It doesn't necessarily mean that consumption is up. But realistically, I'm drinking about the same amount of wine that I was prior to the lockdown that hasn't actually affected me beyond taking away my ability to go out and do things. But most of it's just sitting at home, stockpiled in the same way that people are stockpiling toilet paper and ammunition and food.
You don't want to run out, huh?
No. Why would I want to run out of that?
I suppose, but their argument that consumption is up is because people would make more frequent purchases, which, I mean, it doesn't say if it'd be the same thing, but I mean, if someone is every week buying a bottle of Jack Daniel's No. 7 Black, I think that, I don't think it's like with Bitcoin, right? You buy a little bit each week. I don't think people do that with alcohol. I mean, I think it's safe to assume that they're going through that bottle once a week. I mean, just in that one example.
I hope they're not.
Especially since Alcoholics Anonymous and other addiction resources haven't been deemed essential, and Zoom calls don't have like the same impact as being
right
in there with a person.
There's not the social pressure in the Zoom call. You can just put your name up and, I don't know. I mean, I just don't think it's as effective. I hope it is. I hope people can use Zoom calls to break their addictive cycles, but I bet you can't.
There's some HIPAA issues with using these online calls as well. I think they do have some forms of HIPAA compliant online. It was online video conferencing. Continues on here saying hard drug use is also on the rise. Research indicates that even in periods of decreased income, drug use remains constant throughout the present crisis. Addicts have remained addicts and still need their fix, despite recent disruptions in the meth and heroin supply chains. Other addictive behaviors seem to also be on the rise. Tobacco sales, for one, have absolutely boomed. Industry giant Altria reported...
I could use a good cigar right now, frankly.
Smokeable tobacco.
I could use a bowl after the interaction that we just had. And poor Vincent's trying to just keep a straight face while...
Poker, online gambling is also rising, right? People forget that's an addiction.
Can be an addiction. You know, all of these things can be addictions. But, I mean, so can playing World of Warcraft or whatever.
yeah. I mean, it's just when does it go from being a hobby or something you enjoy to being something that's destroying your life that you refuse to stop? And I think definitely that's how things go with people addicted to gambling, right? Losing their houses.
Someone attempted to buy Bitcoin from me today, and they were like, hey, I want to buy some Bitcoin from you because I want to go gamble online. I immediately, obviously, was like, I'm not selling you anything, and I would recommend that you contact other sellers and not tell them why you want to purchase the Bitcoin. Even though online gambling is largely legal in most states, and I think it's legal here in New Hampshire, it's not worth the risk, right? And the same kind of...
What do you mean, the risk? It's not worth... shouldn't gamble, or...
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of legal liabilities that could become problematic if I sold someone... I mean, it's like selling someone Bitcoin knowing they're going to go and buy heroin with it.
Right. I would say this. If you're going to buy cryptocurrency and you're just desperately have to tell the person that you're buying it from some reason that you're going to buy it, tell them that you're buying it to hold it in the hopes that it becomes more valuable. Because if you tell them anything else, like, I'm going to buy untracked guns on the internet, or I'm going to buy drugs on the internet, or I'm going to gamble on the internet, then you've just made them a party to your crime and made it so they're not going to sell. And to make it a little more clear, you're a cop if you tell somebody why you're buying cryptocurrency. That's it.
Yeah. I agree with that reasoning.
Yeah. So the only thing that you can get somebody for, the only way that you can get somebody in trouble for selling cryptocurrency is if they know why you're buying it and that reason is illegal.
Yeah, so just don't tell them.
Yes.
I mean, that would be my advice to people. I wouldn't even tell them, oh, I'm buying it as an investment, whatever. It's not
my
business.
It's really not their business. No.
And, even if you're just like, I want to buy it because I want to go down to the local burger place that takes Bitcoin, I still wouldn't do it. Because that same idiot's going to come back 2 weeks later and say, oh, yeah, I want to buy some heroin with this Bitcoin, and I just don't want to have anything to do with it. That's how they entrap people. You sell them Bitcoin 5 or 6 times, and then they go, oh, yeah, well, I'm using this one for heroin. You don't know that I didn't use the last one for heroin.
Well, so I don't think you're responsible. I'm not your attorney, all right?
Sure.
But I wouldn't say that you're responsible. If they say they're going to go down and buy a hamburger with it, you haven't done anything wrong. Imagine it like you're a bank teller. If I go up to my bank teller and I tell them that I'm getting some money out so that I can go have lunch, they're going to be like, well, enjoy yourself. Toodaloo. If I tell them I'm going to get $20 out to buy a crack rock, they're going to be like, I'm not giving you anything. So that's what it comes down to. You can't make the bank teller a part of your criminality, and don't do it to your Bitcoin seller either.
Good advice. So in terms of consequences for how they have no avenue for dealing with the rise in alcoholism or the lack of AA or the rise of online gambling or any of these other things, because all of these Reformers Anonymous programs, whatever they're called, are shut down and inaccessible to them in the first place, even if they're not just happening over Zoom, which, as you pointed out, Mark, lacks the social pressure.
Yeah.
So what are these people supposed to do as they're cooped up in their homes, except dig themselves deeper and deeper into their substance abuse?
Wait for the next check.
And sadly, it seems that one is going to be on the way, with the government working out the details, well, parts of the government working out the details for another $1,200 check that people will presumably use to buy more wine and online gambling and World of Warcraft and whatever else people are buying to get themselves through this ridiculous government lockdown. Because the government can't just say, oh yeah, you know what? We were wrong. Everyone should just reopen. What do you think? 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. Or, and if it's not down, it seems to be down, use the Discord server at discord.freetalklive.com.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
Gold has definitely been on the move recently, and there is no more secure investment historically. McIlvany ICA has been helping people take delivery of precious metals and find storage options for decades. They've helped thousands of investors with their precious metal IRAs. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556 or download their free report online at ICAGoldSilver.com to learn how you can double your gold and silver ounces even within an IRA. 800-525-9556. ICAGoldSilver.com.
If you're attacked by a bear, a dog will throw himself into the mouth of a bear to save you. Dogs are dogs. They pour out their love onto you. Before long, you can't live without them. I have a chocolate cocker spaniel named Lady and a black mouth cur. He's about 120 pounds, and his name is Arlo. My little cocker, her coat's as soft as a stuffed animal. They're both real soft coats, and my dogs don't have any health problems because they're eating what they need to eat.
Dinovite.com.
Dinovite is like pouring a multivitamin right onto their food.
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa, the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
We'll be scooping our Dinovite onto the food, then squirting the liquor chops and the fish oil. They start salivating.
Dinovite is nutrition.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
It's a lot of responsibility owning a dog. I get my Dinovite at DINOVITE.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
And do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Well, now with AnyPay, you earn a passive income for every purchase at those businesses. So finally, you have a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You make it happen. You receive the rewards. Just download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses, then install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at AnyPayInc.com. That's AnyPayInc.com. Commissions are instant. There's no waiting for weeks or months or to hit a certain threshold or any of that crap to receive your payout. As soon as the purchase is made in Bitcoin Cash or Dash, you get your payout. You get your commission. Again, that's AnyPayInc.com. Definitely would recommend checking it out. So, Mark, we were discussing before the show about some probably not reliable information I've seen that suggested that the flu deaths this year were almost twice as high as the COVID-19 deaths from this year.
Right. I don't believe that that number exactly, but I will go and I want to bring something out that kind of changed for me during this. I had a general idea that flu deaths in this country were somewhere between 30 and 60,000 people per year. And I never questioned that number. Just, you know, like I'll question a lot of numbers out there, but for some reason I didn't question that number.
Okay.
And I'm going to read an excerpt of a blog here from Scientific American. All right. To be clear, folks, this is not an article from Scientific American, meaning it has not had as much rigorous, checking or anything like that. This is a blog from a doctor.
All right.
Writing in for Scientific American.
Did he wear a white coat as he wrote the article? Because if so, then it's totally facts and we're good to go.
It's a he that wrote it, and it's a doctor. That's all I can tell you. And I'm not going to, read the first part of it because it's a bunch of rambling about Trump and flu and all that stuff. Because the liberals are seriously upset that Trump used the term flu to describe COVID-19. And they're not going to be over that for ever. So, anyway, forget that crap. It doesn't make a difference. Anyway, what he says here is that as an attending physician, I want to go back just a little bit further. When reports about the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, and that's when they're serious. It's when they start getting the official name in.
Oh, yeah.
Began circulating earlier this year, and questions were being raised about the illness that it causes, COVID-19. So COVID-19 is the illness. SARS-CoV-2 is the virus name. Like I care. All right?
I'm glad you said that, because I was trying very hard not to just roll my eyes.
Right. It occurred to me that in 4 years of emergency medicine residency, and over 3.5 years as an attending physician, I had almost never seen anyone die of the flu. I could only remember one tragic pediatric case. Based on the CDC numbers, though, I should have seen many, many more. In 2018, over 46,000 Americans died from opioid overdoses. Over 36,000 died in traffic accidents. Nearly 40,000 died from gun violence. I see those deaths all the time. Was I alone in noticing this discrepancy? I decided to call colleagues around.
Now, he said he's in geriatrics, right? Which is
no.
Okay. I don't know why I thought you said that.
Emergency.
Okay. So geriatrics is caring for older people, right?
Yeah, geriatrics is probably where you do see flu deaths.
Okay. So,
I decided to call colleagues around the country who work in other emergency departments and in intensive care units and ask a simple question. How many patients could they remember dying from the flu? Most of the physicians I surveyed couldn't remember a single one over their careers. Some said they recalled a few. All of them seemed to be having the same light bulb moment I had already experienced. For too long, we have blindly accepted a statistic that does not match our clinical experience. The 25,000 to 69,000 numbers that Trump cited do not represent counted flu deaths per year. They are estimates that the CDC produces by multiplying the number of flu death counts reported by various coefficients produced throughout the complicated algorithms. Who cares what the reason for bad information is? It's just bad information. These coefficients are based on assumptions of how many cases, hospitalizations, and deaths they believe went unreported. In the last six flu seasons, the CDC's reported number of actual confirmed flu deaths, that is, counting flu deaths that were that are currently counting deaths from the coronavirus, has ranged from 3,400 as opposed to 34,000, to 15,000, which is far lower than the numbers commonly repeated by public officials and even public health experts.
Well, isn't the idea here that if an old lady is going to die of the flu, she's probably going to, like, die in her sleep?
Right. I mean, like, something always is kind of the catalyst for the death that was going to happen anyway. I mean, there's very few people that just sort of, expire, right? There's something that happened. My great-grandmother, who was 96 years old.
No one just drops dead, right?
It does happen.
Well, they die of something. Something kills them.
Right. And sometimes it's the flu, right? You know? And, okay. But I think that the CDC's flu numbers need a good looking at. Because when I walked into all of this, I believed, like so many did, that, hey, corona's just another virus, just like the flu. The flu kills 60,000 Americans a year. But the flu doesn't kill 60,000 Americans a year, from what these doctors.
Well, I guess the question would be, do 60,000 Americans die a year?
The number is probably about 60,000 Americans die a week. Between 50 and 60,000 Americans die per week. And they die of something. And usually that thing involves stuff they've put in their mouth over time. So you're talking about, diabetes. From eating too much candy.
Okay. That's a weird way to phrase all of that, but okay, keep going.
No, you can control when you die based on the stuff you put in your mouth.
Heart attacks. Which isn't all. Well, I mean, yeah, you can get heart attacks from smoking, like COPD.
Right. Smoking, COPD. It's the cigarettes. It's, whatever the variety is of it is. You know, it's the things you put in your mouth.
Yeah. Says the guy who eats those heart attack burgers from Five Guys.
Oh, God, they're delicious. So good. Hey, look, you got to die of something.
So the little chart that you had at the beginning of the show that you were so proud of, it's probably skewed by these CDC estimates, right?
No, those are deaths that they've been counting. People actually died, whereas the CDC was just guessing that people who did die, what they died of when it came to those flu numbers.
Okay.
They're not imaginary bodies.
Well, do we ask, like, the coroners and the people who do the autopsies and things like that? Because they would probably be better sources of information about what killed people than, you know, emergency room doctors.
This guy is writing a blog from his experience as an emergency room and a doctor and an attending physician.
Yeah.
And you would think that somebody who has that level of experience over the course of several years and then talks to a bunch of people who have many more years would be able to find, I don't know, more cases of people dying of the flu. If in fact, more people died of the flu supposedly as died from gun deaths or car wrecks or, you know, a whole variety of things. But the doctors see that stuff all the time. They don't see flu deaths.
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I don't have the firsthand experience. Fascinating if true, but I just think that it's probably more likely that the flu deaths just aren't worth remembering. 855-450-3733.
This COVID-19 thing has turned the world upside down. Regardless of what you believe about it, it has changed our lives. But what's not changed is that if you own a business, you need to advertise to reach new customers or clients. Our audience is not the kind to stick their heads in the sand during a crisis. They are fully engaged and more active than ever. Special advertising packages are available to you to help you not just recover, but thrive. Email my sales manager, Matthew at freetalklive.com.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As all 50 states begin to slowly and safely reopen, President Trump welcoming the governors of Arkansas and Kansas to the White House.
States are opening up, some rapidly, safely, and we look forward to that, and I think we're going to get back. We're going to have some very good numbers, I project. I think that we will have a great transition period.
As states begin to reopen, Vice President Mike Pence says the administration is exploring more travel bans.
We're watching very carefully what's taking place in South America, including in Brazil. We saw in recent days there was a significant spike in cases, and the president's made it clear that we're considering additional travel restrictions.
And your final numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow was up 369 points to finish the day at 24,576. You're listening to USA Radio News. Former Vice President Joe Biden is delivering a virtual commencement speech for Columbia University Law School. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee telling graduates to trust in self-governance because right now it is under attack by those who have been corrupted with power. Biden adding they need to turn trauma and chaos into progress for the future. An NBA superstar reportedly came very close to switching to a different game. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the story.
LeBron James says Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones once offered him a contract to play in the National Football League. TMZ is reporting that James was very concerned about the NBA lockout in 2011, and as a result, he began to train for a possible pro football career. But the NBA settled its labor differences, and LeBron returned to the court, and instead of signing the NFL contract, he framed it and hung it on his wall. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in to talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
And evidently, the NFL is having an issue with one of its players, two of its players, in fact. An unnamed NFL player has filed a lawsuit against United Airlines, claiming that the company failed to properly react to his reporting of sexual assault and harassment during a flight from Los Angeles to Newark, New Jersey on February the 10th. Mark, I see you. Yeah.
Okay.
I see you looking like you're trying to restrain yourself, or just like you're processing the idiocy that I just read.
I'm just I'm trying to imagine if he was wearing those tight pants that they wear on the football field.
Well, before we get too deeply into it, let's go to the phones. We've got Etars calling via Discord at discord.freetalklive.com. Etars, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just wanted to, before I get to my main point, so Zoom is HIPAA compliant, so you can talk about medical stuff on it as long as you go through the right hoops. But the main reason I'm calling is because I understand that Mark was reading the article about the ER doctor, but I think you're missing the point in that an ER doctor is not normally going to see someone die of the flu, because if they're in respiratory distress, they'll probably get admitted to the hospital and get sent to the ICU. So, like, an ER doesn't function as a caretaking facility. So if a patient comes in and they've got a problem, it's either not serious enough and they discharge the patient, or it's serious.
We seem to have lost you. However, I believe Mark said during the article that the doctor claims to have called doctors, some of whom worked in intensive care.
Yeah, that was a he was an ER doctor and an attending physician. So part of this is sort of a I guess ad hominem, the opposite of an ad hominem. I'm taking Scientific American's hosting of this particular blog to some extent as an endorsement of what they're saying. Secondly, the doctor here claims to be both I'm looking for it. About the, now I'm trying to scan through the article in the middle of the show and find out the spot where I was as far as what.
Well, so can you guys hear me now?
Yep, gotcha.
Yeah, so, I mean, the reason I bring that up is because my wife is an ER doctor as well, and so she spends a lot of time where she'll see patients, and she will only find out what happens to them after they get admitted. If she follows up. So a lot of times, like, you'll see someone and I can only assume it's the way with flu case. Usually it's a fight to get them admitted because no one wants to take on that. As long as they have insurance, no one wants to, because if you have someone who shows up at the ER and they can't pay and then you admit them to the hospital and they still can't pay, then it's a liability for the hospital. So usually there's pressure to discharge the patient as quickly as possible.
So it says here, I decided to call colleagues around the country who work in other emergency departments and in intensive care units to ask a simple question. How many patients could they remember dying from the flu? So here's an ICU. I mean, apparently ICU doctors. I don't know. I mean, what you've got here is doctors asking the question as to whether or not the CDC's numbers on people who die every year of the flu are accurate or not. And my presumption is that doctors are better people to be asking these questions than, I don't know, nationally syndicated radio talk show hosts, right?
Yeah, well,
or presidents.
I mean, my wife's seen plenty of people die of COVID over the past couple of months.
I imagine.
But the thing is, the awkward thing is that, I mean, there's a lot of caveats to the statement you made. And so the thing is that, like, he called people that work in. And so the thing is that it's really awkward because, like, I mean, and I've even seen the opposite of his argument in that for COVID, in that the first death in my area, my wife treated the patient and she knew she died of a stroke, but they reported as a COVID death because she was COVID positive.
Right, and that's the thing is that how many, you know, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow and then they found COVID antibodies, would I be counted as a COVID death?
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah.
Really? If you got hit by a bus, but because you tested positive for COVID, you really believe that some doctor somewhere would put down the cause of death as being
COVID-19? I hear the numbers
COVID-19?
Are significantly higher. The dollars, you know, the recompense from the feds, significantly higher.
Especially if they use a ventilator.
Well,
yeah,
where are the medical schools that are taking away these people's diplomas for doing this crap?
No, I have an example of someone who died of a stroke, and they reported it as a COVID death, and it was reported as the first death of COVID in the county.
I'm not a medical expert. I will say that COVID cannot cause you to get hit by a bus. Can COVID cause you to have a stroke? It seems more believable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I knew someone who had a really bad cold and they're taking a shower, and because, you know, the head fog and everything, they just, like, passed out, crashed through the door, and died by bleeding to death. So, you know,
COVID death.
This was before the whole coronavirus thing. So being sick can impair motor coordination.
Well, and if your fever's bad enough, certainly you could wander out into the streets and get hit by a bus.
It sounds like we need to redo all the deaths over the last 10 weeks, and they all need to be COVID deaths.
Well, Etars, thank you so much for the call. I'm not sure what a good solution would be. I would like to see, you know, if you find out that a doctor who graduated from your school with a PhD, or MD, whatever, is falsifying information and putting down people who were hit and killed by buses as COVID-19 deaths, you should take away that person's diploma. Take away their accreditation.
They're not going to do that.
Why not? They've already been paid. What do they care?
Because it's all part of the big AMA union scam thing. They decide how many doctors are going to be doctors before they when they let them in. Like, there's a forced bottleneck on the amount of kids who can be doctors, grow up to be doctors. So,
right, which is why a solution to the health care problems in the United States is to remove the requirements that are imposed by the government on behalf of the AMA and other institutions like that.
Sure, but they're thoroughly entrenched with the government and not going anywhere.
Yeah, which is the issue. So, yeah. So the contention here is that we do have these deaths being misreported, right? And I'm willing to accept that to an extent. I don't believe that the average human being is so unethical that they could be bought so easily by putting down a bus death as COVID-19.
Okay.
Maybe I'm naive, Mark.
I'm not claiming that it's... I'll bet you there are some fake numbers on there. But what we can see by the article that I did earlier this evening is that the amount of deaths in the highest week of April, and this is the highest amount of deaths over a week, just touched under 80,000. Let's see, it's 70,000 deaths. It has to be higher than that. 73,951 deaths was the peak. The number for the upper limit of excess deaths, so meaning basically what's considered a normal amount of deaths for that week, was 57,000. So almost 74,000 versus 57,000. It wasn't that many people died extra during the worst week.
Which is about what I would expect from what has largely been considered, even by people who bought into it initially, to be just a nothing burger. It's
a nothing burger unless you're trapped in a nursing home and can't leave.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, wasn't it the governor of New York who put people in that position, though?
Yeah, certainly the government did that part. But there's people dying in nursing homes in Florida, too. Well,
there are people dying everywhere every day.
It was primarily nursing homes, at least in Quebec and Pennsylvania now.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you know, call me. I've been looking at these numbers for some time. Call me callous if I say that somebody who died, I don't know, 7 weeks, 7 months early? Not some kind of global catastrophe.
Yeah, I would imagine that's just sort of expected. I mean, as we've been saying all night, people die. And the elderly people die more frequently than younger people. And all people have an expiration date. So whether or not they died 7 weeks early or even 7 months early because of COVID-19 is kind of irrelevant. They were going to die anyway, as are we all. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing. Mile-long lines food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in to talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733, and with you tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Vincent.
And Mark.
So, these two football players got on a jet, headed from one side of the country to the other, and according to a report by Bleacher Report on Wednesday, the players are just listed as John Doe 1 and John Doe 2. They said that they made four complaints against a female passenger sitting in their row for, quote, unwanted sexual advances before flight attendants moved her somewhere else. And evidently, it wasn't because they made a fifth complaint. It was because she, like, physically attacked them. So
who?
The
football players.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The report also stated that the female passenger was intoxicated and was taking prescription pills. The player said that the woman wasn't moved until she ripped off his face mask, which was worn to protect him against the coronavirus.
Wow.
And grabbed his parts of his body.
Okay.
So, definitely sexual assault at this point.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment prior to that, and then it becomes sexual assault. What amazes me is that these two football players had that sort of restraint in the first. I thought that was one of the main appeals of becoming like a football player or a rock star or something like that, is the groupies, right?
Well, it's not like every groupie is made the same, you know?
Okay, fair point. Some of them might be traps.
Indeed, they might. I think I'd be personally more concerned about, you know, some random person going after my face mask than, you know, grabbing my crotch, although that could have certainly hurt. But, you know, I got pants on. I'll be okay.
Yeah, I guess. The lawsuit, well, she ripped off their face mask. What if she had ripped off their pants?
You mean like torn the pants from their bodies?
Sure.
Well, then that would clearly be a problem. How am I going to get out of the airport without pants?
So the lawsuit was filed in the Superior Court of California of the county. Good God, why do they keep going? So United Airlines told Fox in a statement that the safety and well-being of our customers is always our top priority. In this instance, the customer involved was moved to a different seat Because litigation is now pending, we're unable to provide further comment. But what concerns me about this is that these two guys had to make four complaints about sexual harassment before the airline did anything about it. And the airline didn't even do anything about it because of their complaints, but because the woman actually physically assaulted them and sexually assaulted them. So the airline let this get to that point, because they weren't taking the men's claim of sexual harassment seriously.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, this is probably a world where men's complaints of sexual harassment are probably not taken as seriously as women. I would have to say, for one, okay, that makes a certain amount of sense to me, because men can probably, in many cases, defend themselves, as opposed to women who perhaps cannot.
You would especially expect that with NFL right. players, right?
And that's what, but I'm saying that's sort of the dark alley scenario, right? Like, in a dark alley, if a 90-pound woman hops out unarmed at me saying, I'm going to get your pants, first off, you know, right? Because that happens all the time to me. Right? I should be
what
able to...
What dark alleys are you going down in?
I'm not going
down
any. Right. I don't go out when it's dark. I just drive home to the show. So, yeah, I mean, in that case, I should be able to defend myself. But if you're on an airplane, you can't defend yourself as if it doesn't matter how big of a hulking dude you are. You can't defend yourself because you can't just reach over and bash the lady in the face.
Well, it's kind of frowned upon to do that in the dark alley as well. Like, if a woman just jumps out and says, I'm going to rip off your pants or whatever, she hasn't really done anything at that point to warrant being punched in the face.
If somebody telegraphs to you that they are going to do harm to you, you are allowed to use physical force to defend yourself, I believe, from a moral standpoint.
It's a credible threat, yes.
Well, you could just also run away, too, or leave. Just leave the area.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can, and that's always a good idea to back away from a problem rather than exacerbating it. But that doesn't, just because it's a good idea, doesn't mean that it's the idea that you must do. And also, Aria, to your point, God made man, Sam Colt made them equal. I don't know if Miss 90-pound dark alley woman has a gun on her. So in order to, you know, handle a threat as quickly as possible, maybe that's the choice I take. Now, consider that I was robbed in Nevada, and I just gave, by a woman, a 4'11" woman, who had snatched my glasses off my face on the sidewalk, and I just gave her $40 to get my glasses back, because I figured beating her to a pulp would probably be bad.
It would probably have caused more problems than
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, here's the $42, lady.
I mean, this would have been you getting arrested for beating up a tourist gets arrested for beating up 4'11" homeless woman.
Hooker.
Hooker, even
I don't think she's homeless.
It would not have ended well for you.
No.
So, I mean, and, you know, that plays back into this whole concept that women are automatically victims and men can't be victimized, right?
Well, I did call for help of, you know, like, this lady has stolen my glasses. And people just looked at me, you know, like I had clearly done something to the hooker. Just pay the hooker, pal. You know? So I'm like, I guess I just have to pay the hooker.
Well, it was Nevada, so people probably did assume that you just owed her money. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to be seen on the streets of, you know, Nevada, presumably Vegas, giving a hooker $40 either. So there was,
I called my wife immediately after this, and I'm like, look, I'm going to tell you this story that happened.
I promise this is totally true. There's nothing to read into here, but I was just walking down the street.
I was just robbed by a 4'11" hooker.
And that's all that happened.
Nobody believes that story when I tell it again.
I'm not sure I believe it now that I've thought about it. I believed it until you said hooker.
Yeah, that's really what throws it off. I don't know for sure whether she was a hooker. I'm just guessing her actual occupation as opposed to person who snatches glasses off people's faces. But what I did was I saw her coming in a car, and she crossed the median, like, in areas with, like, fences and stuff, you know, so, you know, like, she was very angry at whoever was in the car, and then she comes out, and as I'm rolling my suitcase behind me with my sound equipment in it, she sticks her little, you know, painted toes beneath my wheel, and then complains to me that I chipped her toenail. Now, I don't know when the toenail got chipped, but it was chipped. That much I can say.
Okay, so she put her foot there intentionally?
Yes.
Okay.
And
you chipped her toenail?
Somehow I was supposed to compensate her for that. And I'm like, I've got places to go. It's not my fault you stuck your foot underneath my suitcase.
You said this?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know, words were exchanged along the way, and I'm like, I'm not giving you anything, go away. Kept telling her these sorts of things. She attempted to, you know, reach for my face and stuff, so I was, you know, keeping her hands away from me. I didn't want to be in a fight. I didn't want my, I'm wearing a suit. I don't want to be messed up. Right? Particularly. Right.
Well,
looking...
this is why you were targeted, because you were wearing a suit and you were carrying your suitcase behind you and sound equipment and stuff like that. You probably looked like a relatively wealthy...
Somebody who had $42
person.
In their pocket.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
We also, like, I mean, luckily the bums in Keene aren't as audacious as, you know, I imagine they would be in a more populated place like Nevada. But I think another mistake you made is you gave her attention, right? Instead of just, like, ignoring her and continuing to walk. The more attention you give these
people... Oh, she pushed me from behind.
Or she pushed
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I did do what you suggested, which was attempting to ignore her, and she like gave my shoulder a shove from behind to get my attention. There was really no way to ignore her at that point, I felt like.
How do you ignore someone after you ran over their toe with your suitcase, though?
Well, was it an accident, or didn't you say she ran up?
I actually didn't know what had happened. Like, clearly
that was a pebble. Right?
Well, yeah, I kind of looked down to both sides, but I didn't see anybody or anything. So okay. I kept, and I didn't stop. I just kept rolling. I was in a hurry.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess this is a difference in culture. Me, I guess, at least with family from Philly and, like, from their experience, you know, you roll over someone or even bump into someone, they complain, hey, get effed, you know, get away. What? You know, stop wasting my time. Get away from me.
Well, she was very resilient. Actually, the security guards told her to go to hell and got her out of there. She ran around the corner and sort of met me as I was doing one of those the crosswalks over the street. At, you know, and... I was certainly ignoring her and telling her to get lost. It was when she grabs the glasses off my face that, you know, I felt like, suddenly I have to pay attention to her.
Okay. Yeah. And she wanted $40 or whatever, or is that just the cash?
She wanted the money that I had.
Okay. So if you had $200, she would have taken all of that.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't have gotten $200 out of me. The glasses were probably $400, $600, somewhere in that range. I don't think I'd have given her $200 for them.
Jeez.
But I saw the problem was solvable with $42, so I solved the problem with $42.
You've gotten soft in your old age. I would have taken her spleen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want whatever disease she's got. She's a hooker, you know.
Just pay the prostitute next time, Mark. This could all have been averted. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.